Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
63 years ago today, a truce on the Korean Peninsula.
Tonight we greet with prayers of thanksgiving the official news that an armistice was signed almost an hour ago in Korea.
That's President Dwight Eisenhower announcing the Korean War Armistice on July 27, 1953. Some 5 million soldiers and civilians died by the time the armistice agreement ceased fighting in Korea. And technically, though, the war is not over since no peace treaty was ever signed. And the effects of those ongoing tensions are obviously inescapable in both North and South Korea, but also on American foreign policy ever since. Jim Walsh is with MIT's Security Studies Program and is Here and Now's security analyst. He joins us now. Good to see you, Jim.
Good to see you.
All right. So first of all, Jim, you've studied this region extensively. We wanted to take this moment to sort of just ask you, when you think about the past 63 years and the effect of the Korean War, what are some of the things that you think about?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think about the American men and women who served in that war. People like my father-in-law, Hollis Nichols, still alive, involved in a brutal and terrible war, one that sort of gets lost in the collective memory, sandwiched between World War II and Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really get the attention it should, but incredibly important. And as you think about that span of decades, really, it's a story of a rising South Korea from a backwater to one of the biggest economies in the world. And in terms of security, going from a situation where there, both sides were looking for war, particularly the North Koreans who initiated it, now to a very different place where neither side wants a war, but where the danger of nuclear weapons hangs in the shadows.
I was going to say that there's still a sense of belligerence inescapable.
Absolutely.
On the peninsula. But so remind us, let's just take a moment here to remember what triggered the war and the U.S.'s involvement in Korea.
Well, that's a matter of some historical debate, whether statements by Truman encouraged the North Koreans to attack. But it was the North Koreans who did initiate the war. I think most people would judge they had been planning that since the end of World War II. So they march down the peninsula, take over more than 90% of South Korea, really South Korea hanging on a thread when U.S. allies and others in the United Nations intervene, and back and forth, up and down the peninsula, that war went up and down, where the front line was constantly changing. And again, a war that was more than a million people were killed, more than a million battlefield deaths occurred, and atrocities and a lot of other terrible things.
Yeah. And some of the milestones that you see of the war itself?
Well, the amphibious landing at Incheon goes down in history as one of the great military maneuvers. Probably MacArthur's miscalculation in thinking that he could cross the Yalu River and China would not respond, which they did, again, causing another dramatic change in the war. I think, those are the two things from a military standpoint. Not much in those days. Remember, we are just 5 years out of World War II,
yeah, I was gonna
right?
Say,
I mean,
yeah.
Both countries were already decimated by, one, a Japanese invasion. And then secondly, the liberation itself was a battle as well. So it was a peninsula in tough shape, and then suffered an intense three-year war.
But Jim, this is actually exactly what I wanted to get to you with, because as you pointed out, 5 years after the end of World War II, just 1950, but the United States doesn't declare war. It's a military action, right? And we're obviously very different from what was declared in World War II. And this is something that the U.S. then goes on to repeat several times all the way through to today.
Yes, and you can imagine what the American people, what their sensibilities were like 5 years after World War II. I don't think they were really, chomping at the bit to get involved in another land war in Asia. And the U.S. in that mode was thinking much more about NATO, much more about Central European Front and the threat that Russia posed to Europe. So really, Truman had to, enter into this without necessarily all the political support of all the lawmakers and the American public opinion.
I take your point about the service of the soldiers, the U.S. soldiers that fought in Korea. But also there's, aside from that, there's sort of debate over military missteps and civilian leadership in terms of how the United States performed in the Korean War. But I have to ask you, we're talking about this in the last minute that we have, 63 years after that armistice was signed, and there's still all those tensions on the peninsula. It makes me think about conflicts the United States have been involved in ever since. I'm thinking of Iraq specifically. Are we in a world where the United States is getting itself involved or triggering conflicts and wars which will have unending consequences for half century later?
Well, I think wars tend to have long-term consequences, but I would distinguish between treaty alliances. The U.S. has three big treaty alliances, NATO, Japan, and South Korea. That's sort of a different thing than Iraq, which was a war of choice, one that could have not been taken. But we are obliged, and for good reason, we're obliged to protect our enemies and to make sure that they don't go off on their own in a rogue way. So that I put that in a different category.
Well, Jim Walsh is MIT's Security Studies with MIT's Security Studies Program and Here and Now's Security Analyst. Jim, thanks.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. Here and Now.